Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here,
Dude, we're cool. We did like that 14 years ago.
I know.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about
at this point. Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into
dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, baby.
Sean's being naughty, and
I really wish I could say what I was saying.
No, you can't.
You already told me I can't.
So. No, you can't say anything naughty.
Because this is not what you think I was thinking.
But
it does revolve around the same subject matter.
All right, so this year, this is so great. this podcast is already a dumpster fire. And yet, all we're here to do is to make your life a little better. It's kind of hard to learn that term,
a dumpster fire, baby?
I don't know, baby. Probably you.
Have you ever lit a dumpster on fire?
No, I've never lit anything on fire other than a fire.
That's right, me too.
Which doesn't make... That's right, me too.
No, I'm serious. I'm not lying.
Anyways, this podcast, Dogs Are Smarter Than People, is supposed to make us better humans, but...
Really?
This week we may fail.
I don't know. Judging by your title, I don't know if that's even possible.
So this week's title is Fried Chicken Incense, Farts, and Not Letting Your Worries Master You.
Dude, if you're about to tell me of an article where somebody invented fried chicken incense, I want the link to buy it.
I am indeed telling you.
Does it make your house smell like a KFC?
I don't know.
Because that's awesome.
But KFC Thailand has partnered with some perfume experts. Right?
Yeah.
And this is all in celebration of the Lunar New Year. Yeah. And what they've created is something finger-licking good, which is a fried chicken incense. You cannot eat the incense sticks, but they do exist.
So if you smoke weed and you use fried chicken incense at the same time, what's gonna? You better have some munchies around. Otherwise, you're going to end up freaking... in dire mental straits.
Well, in sad news, you can't even buy them.
The incense?
No, it's a raffle on the KFC Thailand's Facebook page.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Read that. Oddity Central reported that the incense sticks look good enough to eat, so they must look like fried chicken legs or something.
I don't know, man.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
They better sell that crap.
What?
They need to start selling that crap. Really? I mean, how the hell are we going to find KFC Thailand's Facebook page?
Well, by Googling KFC Thailand fried chicken incense sticks.
All right, you're smarter
than
then... I am. Stop trying to remind me of it 300 times a day.
Oh, apparently they got some backlash.
Why?
Because...
Oh, if you go to the Thai restaurant and you get the, what's it, is it the chicken that you dip in the peanut butter sauce?
Like a satay?
Yeah, that's what they look like.
But they look very thin compared to that.
Well, you know, they're health conscious.
They look like a cattail, and then like the cattail dehydrated.
Like a cattail reed, not a real cattail.
Oh yeah, not a real cattail. But anyways... apparently, it's inappropriate because it's culturally wrong.
For whom?
For whoever's saying it's inappropriate. It says, this is from Yahoo News. Several of them pointed out that the product is inappropriate given the millennia-old tradition of burning incense sticks in Asia.
Well, it is an incense stick.
And it is in Asia.
They are incensing me.
The practice is meant to commemorate various events such as special occasions and funerals. People also burn incense sticks during their prayers, daily prayers, and while they pay their respects to their ancestors.
That's what it is, right?
It's Twitter.
No, it's that sentence. It's because they're using it as a commercial, like a advertising thing, gimmick. We'll call it a gimmick, and it's taken away from the what's the word? The importance, because I can't think of the word I want to think of the traditions of the Chinese or the Lunar New Year, let's say.
So they're basically saying it's late stage capitalism on Twitter, and that it, like, getting your ancestors' attention that way is kind of not cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. Late stage capitalism is awesome. It'd be better if you could eat it, but...
Well, I don't think you're getting the culture that they're saying is being offended. But
I technically, as a white man, have no culture, right?
You really are quite white. But, what's interesting to me is maybe, how big this controversy can be and can get. And, because we don't know the facts. Who at KFC Thailand decided this? And is it... KFC is super popular in Asia. Yeah, it's probably some white guy. Or was it somebody who wasn't a white guy who made it? Who made it? And can you be culturally inappropriate to your own culture?
That right there is the million-dollar question.
And we really don't know, because we don't know the facts of who created this. It could have been someone as white as Sean. Or it could have been someone who isn't, who's... Thai, or it could be someone who's Chinese.
It says they marinated it in the top secret 11 herbs and spices. And if it comes embedded in a bucket of chicken like that, if that's how the delivery guy brings it to your door, hell yeah.
I think that, we know that Sean would be very into it, right?
We haven't eaten KFC fried chicken in a decade, probably, because we eat Taco Bell when we go to KFC. But...
That's because Taco Bell has vegetarian options.
I gotta say, the Colonel definitely figured out a great chicken recipe, and it's good crap when you eat it.
I'm very intrigued by this whole thing. I'm intrigued by the controversy. I'm intrigued by the facts that I can't seem to get, you know what I mean, of where the marketing team was based, and then what race they were, what culture they were, because it's not just race, and that's so intriguing to me, man. But also, fried chicken incense, that should be a Yankee Candle flavor.
It should be
smell.
They should have all kinds of food. You don't eat Yankee
Candle, Yankee Candle doesn't care. There's no culture associated with that. So maybe
the similar flavor of Walmart candle.
Because they're cheap.
Comparatively.
We get Yankee candles for Christmas.
Yeah, if somebody gives us a gift of a Yankee candle, we'll burn that motherfucker.
But in general, we default to the cheaper Walmart. Yankee candles are for special occasions.
Walmart candles smell damn good, some of them.
I feel like you would buy a fried chicken candle.
I would, just for the experience.
I think you would.
Like when we have company over.
Everybody's woo, it smells like fried chicken. No. They'd be like, no.
It's our candle.
It's just how Sean smells being from the South.
Maybe we could get some
that
drops.
That was so funny, you didn't even get it.
I once knew a person in high school that worked at a KFC.
And did they smell like it?
Yes. Yeah. And that the very first thing, it was a girl. And the very first thing they ever wanted to do when they got home was take a shower.
Yeah, I had
to get the grease and the odor off.
Yeah, I had a friend who worked at the Weather Vane, which is a seafood chain up in New England, and everything smelled like him. Like his mom and his sister wouldn't let him in their car. They're like, we're not picking you up from work when his car broke. Because he would the whole car would smell like fried flounder and cod and fried stuff gets in you.
Well, those grease, that grease almost aerosolizes in the air and sticks to you.
Have you ever smelled a fried chicken fart?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I have. Like, probably my own, but
yes,
I don't remember
what
it smells
like.
Why, have you?
Yeah, yours.
My fried chicken fart.
Yeah, when you make Nashville hot chicken farts.
Oh, that's totally different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not a KFC fried chicken fart. They couldn't make Nashville hot chicken if they were in Nashville.
Oh my word. So this part of the podcast is about, I don't even know.
A dead white guy. Sorta.
So John Locke, a dead white guy, also in Lost, but.
See, I thought he was still alive because I thought he was. I thought that was John Locke. But really, he would have been dead even on Lost, right? Isn't that the premise? They were all dead?
I don't really understand if I remember.
Oh.
That doesn't make sense. But I don't remember if they were all dead and then they got to go to heaven or hell or something after they got off the island and that was purgatory. Or it wasn't, because I repressed the ending because I remember I was unhappy with it.
Oh, they were all dead, but they got to come back to life. And then that was that other show that you got into for a hot second.
Manifest?
Yeah. They just didn't make the characters the same. Those were the people on the plane that you never saw in Lost.
I don't think so, but there are a lot of similarities.
That's right.
So anyways, this podcast is supposed to be about improving ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And we are very fallible people who need a lot of improvement. So we're right here on that journey with you. But what John Locke said is what worries masters you. And we talked about this last week a bit on our Substack, Living Happy. And when I say our, I mean mine, because Sean doesn't do any of the work.
Not for living happy, no.
What do you do work for?
Because I'm not happy. That's not the one idea. I can't partake in that one.
So anyways, he doesn't know about all this because he doesn't read it either. So
I share the hell out of it, though.
You can actually read it.
Huh?
Sure. Oh my god. Anyways, there's this thing that's like, John Locke basically said that if you worry about something so much, it controls you.
I totally agree with that, baby.
I know.
You
white guys gotta stick together.
You fall into that category, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of times what I worry about masters me. I am a person of, I want to figure out the worst case scenario and before I make a big decision, so that I'm prepared for that worst case scenario.
You are.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, if I were the KFC chicken, fried chicken incense people in Thailand, I would hope that I would be like, you know, incense is this, and people might be upset that you're trying to make money off of it, or they might be upset that you're kind of Americanizing it.
Right.
Via KFC. And, right. Like, so then those people, and then everybody would blow me off, and because nobody ever listens to me. I'm kidding. But then I would at least say my piece. You're so mean. But the whole point is that, like, there's this old adage, and the adage is that fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, that's right.
And so,
but not always.
No, it's not always. But the kind of fear that often masters you, that anxiety, a lot of the time, it's just like, oh, I'm going to put this and this together, and then I'm going to make it into reality. I'm putting these assumptions into a worst case scenario. Then I'm going to get outraged. Then I'm going to write an angry letter to the newspaper. And then, like, it just goes like that. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Post on social media. And we do a lot of assumptions because our brains are trained to put evidence together and fill in the gaps and find patterns. And sometimes that really helps us to innovate. But sometimes it holds us back because we get a little paranoid, like we've been having too much weed and not enough munchies.
The paranoia comes if you don't have enough munchies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And, like, so what happens, too, is that fear basically is your body's stress response, and it gets into a super focused mode, right?
Yeah.
And your stress in your body and your mind is reacting to that stress, and there doesn't need to be a real threat for your body to go into that stress mode. Right?
Yes.
It can just be a perceived stress.
Oh, right. For sure.
And the thing is that stress is really close to arousal and excitement.
Hell yeah,
so people get addicted in a weird way. some of them, obviously not everyone who has official anxiety, but some of us get addicted to that anxiety because we get addicted to the way it makes our body feel.
Well, yeah, that's why a lot of people are like, you know, I don't want to use the word fear, actually, but like adrenaline junkies.
Yeah, that's also very similar. So right. Some people might get that, excitement feeling, but the doing something a little naughty. And some people might, and so they keep doing more and more naughty things.
It's like how you want to come home and make love every time after you steal a kayak.
Exactly.
And that's only going to work for our regular listener.
No one else will get that reference. But I do not steal kayaks, but I always want to. But you can get excited. And so I think that in my own life, I have this stage fright, right?
Yeah.
And social anxiety. But because fear is so close to excitement, now I'm kind of wondering, am I really afraid? Am I just excited and I'm so
clueless
that I don't realize it? Like whenever anything good happens to me, I get that same feeling mm-hmm. that I equate with social anxiety. Like you're on the New York Times bestseller list. And I think more people will see me and then more people will be mean to me.
That's right.
Whatever I have ever done wrong. Do
that's why I call you worst case scenario, baby.
Exactly. But maybe.
And see, you can't knock me for that anymore now. Because it's what you do.
I will just repress it's this part whole of your conversation mental process. So that I can knock you continuously.
But no, I'll remind you.
Of course you will. But it's really interesting. And
that
you know,
is very interesting.
Fear and stress says. Have kept us and our ancestors alive for a really long time. But it also can keep us back and keep us from taking risks. Like, we might not tell our best friend that we have a crush on them. Or we might not tell...
Who do you have a crush on?
Not me.
It better be me, because I'm better be your best friend.
and it's also like...
I mean, I didn't mean those betters to be threatening.
They sound threatening. and it might keep us from taking a different job or quitting our job and doing what we love to make money instead. Or it might keep us from trying to get a loan. And because of the fear of rejection or the fear of failure, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of moving forward and going to places where cool things might happen for us and where we can also do cool things for others, right? We stay in this stasis because our fear and our anxiety keep us from going forward and keep us mired to where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can definitely happen.
I know. And so another thing is that it narrows our focus, right? Yeah. So like if we're afraid because there's a bear coming, right? And all our innate things, when we feel that fear, is we're going to focus on the bear. The bear is all that matters. Is that bear going to take another step towards us? Is that bear going to eat us? You know, is that bear yogi? Who knows? But like, we're not going to focus on a speck of dirt on the trail or that our shoelaces are dingy.
Right.
We're going to be focusing on the bear, right? Because the bear is our danger. But when we have fake perceived danger that's not real, the same thing
happens. Like something
happens.
That might sound like a bear on the trail.
No, like, oh my gosh, if I try to be a writer, I'll just fail and I'm afraid of failing, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Then we don't have the opportunities and that expanded scope and perspective to deal and make new changes and move forward. It limits us.
Right, I got you.
Right? Yeah. So we can't be creative. Instead, it's all black or white. And I think that happens in communities, too. I mean, we see it in politics all the time. We're afraid of the other side. The other side's going to win.
Right.
Right?
Right.
In our town, there's a lot of that right now.
Apparently
there is. Right? But that, because that becomes so polarized, the thinking... There can't be the collaboration and that constructive, I made up a word.
Constructive?
The constructive way of like solving problems and making the community better, because then nobody trusts each other. And when we get addicted to the adrenaline of like outrage and fear, you know, because
mm-hmm.
those are pretty connected too, it just comes and becomes a bigger and bigger cycle.
It does.
And it's not coming in a good way.
You are full of sexual innuendos today.
I know.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with me?
Maybe we should go upstairs.
I'm afraid.
To the boudoir for a little bit.
But it's the same thing. Okay, wait. I'm going to bring farting into this, right? Because usually our podcast where I say the word.
I can't do that on command.
Whenever I use the word fart in a podcast, we usually get more listeners. So, and I'm not afraid to admit it. So the point here is that we do this in big ways and little ways all the time. We might be like keeping ourselves from the love of our life, or we might be keeping ourselves from a new job or trying to do art or write, right?
Yeah.
But in little ways, like how many people in the beginning of a relationship are like, I cannot fart in front of my person?
Oh, I'd say just about everybody.
Like everybody holds their fart in because they're afraid to do even the most, well, it's very polite, honestly. I don't even like saying the word, but I'll do it for listens. But they're afraid to even let that out, the most basic of bodily functions, right?
Yeah.
And instead, they'll hold it inside, scared of what might happen if they let one rip, right? And so even on a small level.
But I've been married for a while.
You don't care.
She doesn't hold back any longer.
You don't care about the repercussions. I barely ever do that. Anyways.
I know, but it's always
blessed. You are blessed with this wife. No, it isn't. And this is far too much information for everyone to know. But when I was a little kid, if I had to sneeze or fart or even cough, and I wasn't in school and had freedom of mobility, I would run into other rooms of the house.
Really?
Yes.
Even if it was like just your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What a different world we come from.
Hey. I know.
The only reason we would run before we farted was so we could aim it at somebody.
Oh, my word.
Like right in their face.
Once again, I have no idea how we're together.
What?
We just.
So well, different. People get better, and you are good at getting better, so.
I am not that good at getting better.
Dog tip for life.
Why, hello.
Hello, quiet ones.
You were so loud. So
I
loud.
Try. What's your dog tip, baby?
Oh, I gotta do it, man?
Oh, no, I'll do it.
All right.
Sparty says this. If it's farts or love declarations or a loan application, don't be afraid to let it out. Yeah, it might not go awesomely, but it's better than not knowing. All movement matters.
And you don't want to hold it in.
You definitely don't want to hold it. Yeah. Holding a fart in is bad health advice. I've seen people's cheeks tear.
No.
Because this is going to come out one end or the other.
I'm so sorry to everyone listening.
What?
This is a bad, bad podcast.
It's not bad at all. It's wonderful.
Oh.
It's a sensory based one, and the sensory is today is the sense of smell. Because we talked about chicken incense.
Yeah.
And farts. And probably some other things. You were so full of innuendos today.
I didn't mean it.
You probably threw some in, didn't even know it.
I don't know. But you know what? I gotta be unafraid of the innuendo, man.
Thanks for listening. Get yourself some fried chicken or Taco Bell. And Dutch oven your significant other as much as you can.
No, no.
They'll love you for it.
No, that's something you should stay afraid of.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.